If you haven't met me before, my name's Amber. I've been on staff for 4 years, and I'm actually a student this year as well. I'm getting my master's degree in social work. I feel like this is usually the point in someone's talk where they like put up a picture of like their spouse or their kids or their pet. But since I don't have any of those things, I have this picture of me with a giant can of baked beans. Thank you. Wow. Thanks for that, guys. That was a confidence boost. But anyway, moving on. If you've been here for the last few weeks, you'll know that we are in a series called Purpose Matters and God's Plan is Good. We've been looking week by week at God's good plans for us in Christ. I think that a lot of us struggle to know why we're here, wondering if there is a bigger purpose for our lives. And these questions, when left unanswered, can lead to doubt, depression, and anxiety. But God really does have good plans for us, which lead to his glory and our joy. And tonight we're going to talk about God's heart for the lost and how that kind of works into our purpose. So when I think about purpose, especially as a Christian, I think a lot about identity. I think it would be really hard to live out my purpose if I didn't first know who I am. So that's where I want to start tonight. We're going to begin with identity and later on see how that drives us to live out our purpose. But first I want to ask you guys a question. What do you think God's heart towards you is? I want you to take a second and think of like three words or phrases that come to mind. And I don't want these to be the three words that like are on your best day when you're feeling really great. I want this to be what you feel about yourself when you're having like a harder time. So go ahead for a second and think through those three words or phrases. If you're a Christian, you might know that God loves you, but there might still be a piece of you that thinks he only kind of tolerates you. And if you're not a Christian, maybe you think that God has it out for you or despises you or even worse. But I think that our brains can often be our own worst enemies when it comes to how we perceive who we are and what God thinks about us. So we're going to turn to scripture so we can hear from God firsthand about what he has to say about our identity. So we're going to be spending a lot of time today in Luke chapter 15. And in this chapter, Jesus is telling a set of three parables or stories so that some religious teachers of the time that were criticizing him could know what God's heart is towards sinners that turn to him. And so I want to tell these stories like an actual story. I want you guys to like kind of sit back and really think and imagine as if you're there and you can like hear Jesus saying these words to you and imagine the things that he's getting at. So I'll go ahead and do that now. And I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit in the chapter, so I definitely encourage you to like read the whole chapter sometime else. But all right, story time. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." The end. They all lived happily ever after. But I could talk about this passage literally for hours. It's one of my favorites, but I have homework tonight, so I better keep it short. But I'm going to pick out three things that I see in this passage that have to do with who we are. So the first thing I see is that you are valuable. Do you know why the man goes looking for his sheep, or why the woman is so concerned with finding her lost coin? It's because they value these things. They treasure them. And to God, you are that treasure, even when you've messed up. The son in our story left his father and spent his money on terrible things. But even so, when he came home, the father ran to his son, took him in his arms, and kissed him, because his son was valuable to him. You are valuable to God. And so the second thing I see in this story is that you are worth searching for. The people in these stories are active in their pursuit of the thing that they love. They're willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work. And in your own life, I know that you've probably seen this be true with the Lord, whether that's been through a friend that's told you about him, or maybe one of us were super annoying the first couple weeks and like gave you a green questionnaire and was like, come to Crew. But either way, I know that the Lord has been actively pursuing you. And he sees that you're worth searching for, and he has put action behind it. And he showed this on full display by taking the cross on your behalf 2,000 years ago. So the third thing I see is that there is great joy at you being found. And I think my favorite part of these stories is the celebration that happens when the sheep is found, the coin restored, and the son at home. There's this phrase that we see in the stories that says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that always gets me so excited. The party that the father puts on for the prodigal son doesn't seem to be far off from the celebration that happened in heaven when you came to Jesus. I think that this really helps us to disband our self-conscious doubts that God doesn't really like having us around, or that he only kind of tolerates us. The Father throws a party on your behalf. He puts the best cloak on you and puts a ring on your finger and wants everyone to know how delighted he is to have you home. So maybe these three things feel pretty familiar to you. As you think back to those three words or phrases that you picked at the beginning, maybe these feel kind of similar, or maybe they feel really different. But I hope that these can be new words that you use for yourself when it comes to how God sees you. So what does all of this mean when it comes to our purpose? First of all, I think that it means that we can walk around secure in what Jesus has done for us. We don't have to constantly be looking over our shoulder, waiting for God to realize that we're an imposter and kick us out. I think that resting in these truths is essential, and sometimes God's purpose for us is to be loved by him, to enjoy his grace, to live in the security that he's given us. So that's my first recommendation to you, is to just get serious about being loved by God. And so I want to transition to another really exciting element of our purpose as believers. We get to be a part of the never-ending celebration of sinners being found by God. We get to walk around the pasture with Jesus as he leaves the 99 to search for the one. We get to pull out our lamp and look under the refrigerator with the woman who lost her coin. And we get to join in the celebratory feast of the prodigal son returning home. So we're going to turn to a passage that speaks really clearly of how we get to come alongside God in bringing people to himself. So this is Matthew 9, 35 to 38, and it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So once again, in this passage, we see God's heart for the lost. It tells us that Jesus had compassion on the crowds. And I find Jesus' request in verses 37 to 38 really interesting. We have other points in the Bible where Jesus tells his disciples about prayer, where he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. He asks them to pray for him as he's getting ready to die. But this feels like a really unique instance of Jesus asking his disciples to pray for something really specific. So what exactly does he ask them to pray for? Well, first he says that the harvest is plentiful. This means that there are many people who are just waiting to hear about the hope of Christ and to have someone come and sling them on their shoulders like the lost sheep that we saw in Luke 15. But Jesus also shares the harrowing reality that the laborers are few. There aren't many who will join in this work of bringing lost sheep home. He entreats the disciples to pray earnestly to God that he would send out more laborers to his harvest. And so that is where we come in. Did you know that you are an answer to the disciples' prayers? That's like crazy. You guys are pretty cool. But yeah, if I could like go back in time and tell Peter that his prayers are being answered by like a girl wearing a frog and toad shirt, he'd be like, that's the sickest thing I've ever heard. And we'd do like a cool handshake. Peter'd be chill like that. So, you know, but we are actually an answer to this prayer that Jesus tells his disciples to pray for. And I think that is just pretty cool. So we're going to look back at the list of things that were true of us to see how we can go about being laborers with Jesus. So this is our list, that you are valuable, that you are worth searching for, and that there's great joy in you being found. They're true of you, but did you know that they're also true of every single person that you walk by every day? That they're true of every person all across the globe. So if we were going to share God's heart for the lost, this is what our perspective might look like. We would believe that the people around us are valuable. You would believe that the people around you are worth searching for. And you would get to participate in the great joy of the people around you being found. So I think if we walked around truly believing these things about every person we encountered, we would be a pretty unstoppable force for the gospel. So I want us to think about some ways that we can practically live these things out. So we'll go one by one. So for the first one, believing that the people around you are valuable. I think first and foremost, this one requires a heart check. Do you spend your days mainly thinking about yourself? What if you spent more time recognizing God's image in those around you and thinking about God's love for the world? Some suggestions I have of how you could grow would be finding resources that talk about God's heart for people that are different from you, people across the world, people that have a different race than you, people who have a different faith or worldview. A really great book that I read this summer is a book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. That's about how a devout Muslim man came to know Christ. So things like that I think are really helpful to be able to value people that are different than us. I think this can also look like educating yourselves on the challenges and hardships that people face. And I also think this just looks like building relationships. The more you get to know someone, the more you'll come to value them. And I think they'll really feel it. Especially in a place like this, on a college campus, I think that loneliness and feeling unseen can be pretty rampant. So how can you personally be like the man who left the 99? I think you could go sit with someone who's alone at 180 or in the dining halls. You could strike up a conversation with someone at the gym. You can pray for your classmates when you hear that there's things going on in their lives and you could like check in with them. Really so many things, but also asking God to open your heart to those around you. So for our second point of, believing that the people around you are worth searching for. So once you've started valuing the people around you, it's time to be like God by putting your heart for people to action. I think one of my favorite things about the Lord is that he went to great, great lengths to rescue us. And so I think if we just sat here and said, people are pretty cool, but never did anything about it, I don't think that would reflect God's heart very well. So I think that this can look like inviting people to 180 or your community group. You can ask them about their spiritual background or about their faith. You can share with them how Jesus impacted your life. You can invite them to coffee to build a relationship with them. Really just taking steps to start pointing them to Jesus. So for our third point, that you would get to participate in the great joy of them being found. The life of the person who comes alongside Jesus in reaching the world is a life of celebration. It's a never-ending invite to the party in heaven over sinners being saved. So I just want to ask you guys, like, are you joining in the party? Or are you preoccupied with things that really don't matter? I think that this point also includes knowing that all of heaven is rallying behind you, that you're never going alone when you tell someone about Jesus, that he's in control, he's doing more behind the scenes than we could ever think or imagine. And I also like to think about like getting to heaven and like enjoying the party and kind of looking around at the web of people and kind of how I was able to get there. Like I'll look and I'll see Erin, I think a lot of you guys probably know her, who discipled me in college. And then I'll see the woman that discipled Erin, her name's Christy, and then I'll see all the people that poured into Christy and so on and so forth until you get back all the way to Jesus. And then the really awesome thing is that I also get to look and see the web that was able to go out from me. I'll see Jaden, who I disciple. She's there. And then I'll see Allison, who Jaden disciples. And then I'll see the freshman that Allison's going to meet when she's a senior, and so on and so forth. And yeah, I just think about the impact we could make if all of us got really serious about helping Jesus search for the lost. And it's just like pretty exciting. But I want to go back to identity for a moment and remind you that if you are in Christ, you are at this party. For me, I know when I would hear a talk like this, I'd be like, oh no, I have to get my act together and share my faith every single day, every single minute, or God's going to be so mad at me. But that can't be further from the truth. In Christ, we are saved, we are loved, and we are totally secure. But we also get to be a part of the greatest party of all time. And I would just hate for any of us to get to the end of our lives and feel like we missed out on that. So we're going to think of some action steps now. So I'm a really big fan of baby steps. I think it doesn't help anyone if we walk away tonight being like, yeah, this sounds like a good idea, but that's too scary, so I'm not going to do anything. So I want us to think about some things that we can all like actually put to practice. And I actually think that God has something that each one of us could do. So, yeah, I just think it's really exciting that God had you in mind for this very purpose. And yeah, I think that it would just be a life of so much more joy if we were able to live out our purpose of being sheep finders, coin searchers, and harvesters. So some action steps that we're going to do together. So I actually want you to think of two people in your life that you want to be intentional with when it comes to valuing them and searching them out. So you can take a moment now and just kind of ask the Lord if there's anyone specific he wants you to focus on. And the action step that we're all going to take is to commit to praying for these two people every day. I think that this is probably a step we can all do. And I'm confident that once you start doing that, God will give you opportunities to point to him more and more in your relationship with that person. So I want you guys to actually like take out your phones right now and set an alarm to remind yourself to pray for these people. And yeah, whatever time will like work best for your schedule. So you can go ahead and do that. And then my third point is that get ready to party. Like, I think I feel really confident that you'll start to see opportunities to point these people to Christ. And when things like that happen, I want you to like find me and tell me, and like I would love to celebrate that with you. But while you guys do that, I'm going to tell you a quick story of how I saw this play out in my own life. So when I was in college, I met with a girl pretty often to read the Bible together. And this past year, I started thinking about her, and I felt like God was just like putting her on my heart. So I started praying for her pretty consistently. But I graduated college in 2020, so it had been quite a few years since I saw her, and I had no idea what was going on in her life. But I ended up reaching out to see if she'd be interested in meeting up, and I was shocked to hear that she actually said yes, and she wanted to meet up. So we got coffee and caught up on life. And she shared with me that she actually hadn't picked up her Bible since the last time we met in 2020. But she thought it was really crazy that I had reached out to her because she had recently felt like God was calling her back to himself. And so I invited her to go to church with me, and she started going. And one day after church, we went to get coffee. And at one point, I went to the bathroom, and as I was sitting on the toilet, I just had this... Let's be real. Thanks, guys. This feeling of like, I think I need to ask her about identity. Because when we were talking, she kept saying things kind of like, if I was a Christian, I would do this. Or if I was a Christian, it would mean that. So I washed my hands. And I went back out and I sat down with her. And I just said, like, yeah, like, why do you feel like you can't identify as a Christian? And my friend immediately had tears come to her eyes. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I actually need to spend some time thinking about that. I think I need to pray and just really, like, figure this out with the Lord. And so the next time we met, I asked her how that had gone, and she looked at me and said, Amber, I identify as a Christian. And we got to celebrate together, and she got to share with me that she couldn't believe all of the ways that God had used our friendship to pursue her. She saw so clearly that God had been searching for her and that he loved her enough to send a friend who could help point her to him. And like, I didn't do anything crazy. I wasn't a superhero Christian eloquently describing all the background roots of the Bible. I was literally just a girl in a coffee shop sitting on a toilet. And I got to value my friend by spending time with her, getting coffee with her, and I helped search for her by asking her questions about her faith. That's all I did. God was doing so much more behind the scenes, and I just wonder how different things would have been if I would have not done anything when God put her on my heart. I know for one thing, I would have missed out on a ton of joy that comes from living out our purpose in the Lord. And I'm confident that you have people in your life just like my friend that need someone to come alongside them, value them, and help search for them. So there's one last important application step that I want to address. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, or you're unsure about where you stand with God, I want you to know that all of the things we talked about tonight is God's heart towards you. I want you to know that you're being searched for by God himself. He's walking through the pasture at night to find you. He's kneeling by lamplight to search for you under the furniture. And he's sitting on the porch, looking out, waiting for his son or daughter to come home. And I don't want you to spend another day away from the party of the Lord. So if you want to accept his invitation to this party, the Bible tells us to believe and receive what Jesus has done for us. And this looks like repenting, which means asking God to forgive you for your sins and turning away from sin, believing that Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that you could be 100% forgiven because he took the punishment on your behalf. And once you've started that relationship with God through Jesus, he'll work in your life by his Spirit and form you to look more like him day by day, including being able to seek out the lost with him. And remember what we heard in Luke 15, where Jesus says, "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." There will be a party in heaven because you've been found. So we're going to spend some time praying now, and I wanted to put on the screen a few categories that you could pray for. So the first category is if you're not a Christian, but you want to make the decision to follow Jesus. There's no magic words for starting a relationship with God. Prayer is just like talking, so just tell God that you want him to forgive you for your sins, you want him in your life, and you believe that Jesus died and rose again so that you could be forgiven and have a relationship with God. And so the second category is if you are a Christian, I want you to thank God that he has found you, thank him for the people that he used to help lead you to him, and pray that he would help you to value people and to seek them out, and also pray for the two people that you've selected. And if you're here tonight and you're really just not sure where you're at, I just want you to spend this time asking God to continue revealing himself to you and that he is searching you out. So we're going to just take a few quiet moments to pray to yourself, and then I will close us here in about a minute. I'll just start praying, and then we'll be done. But yeah, go ahead, we'll bow our heads and close our eyes, and then I'll bring us back together. Dear God, I just thank you so much for every single person here tonight. God, I thank you that you have been active in your pursuit of each and every one of us. I thank you that you came after us and that you love us and that you're with us as we seek to share you with other people who need to know you. God, I just get so excited when I think about if each one of us commit to praying for these two people. That's hundreds of people on our campus that will be covered in prayer. God, I just ask that you would equip us and enable us to just be able to value those around us and to search them out in you, Lord. And I just thank you for the party that we get to be a part of. I thank you that you're never going to leave us or forsake us. And I thank you for everything that you're doing in all of our lives. In your name, Jesus, amen.